Before Tiara and I begin, we would like to acknowledge that we are currently on the land of the Darug and Gurungai peoples. Sovereignty was never ceded, and this always was, and always will be, Aboriginal land. We acknowledge that as two South Asian women living in Australia, we have a lot of settler privilege being on this country, and the importance of educating ourselves and learning from Indigenous peoples.
Hi guys, welcome or welcome back to your favorite inconsistent podcast. I'm Tiara and today I'm joined with our co-hostess with the mostest.
Oh, alrighty then. Barsha.
Yas, today we're, I hate when I say yas, I'm sorry. But today we're going a bit all over the place, but the overarching message is the same. And today we're going to ask each other the question, is the world going to shit with the amount of digital and internet gaslighting that is going on? And today's overarching, I guess, theme is internet literacy, because it's always been a thing and there's always been a need for it. And I feel like we learned that from COVID, because it exposed just how far people can run with misinformation and make it fact. And I feel like there was this sort of collective acknowledgement of, okay, yeah, Sandy in the corner, she doesn't believe in the vaccine because it was developed too quickly and she thinks it has a chip in it. But then there comes a point where you can't and shouldn't actually take what people say and do at face value. And I think that that overarching theme goes into a lot of what we're going to talk about today. So, Varsha, yeah, kick it off, why don't you?
Alrighty, well, should I chat about... What am I chatting about first?
That's up to you, baby. Yeah.
Alrighty. Well, first up, this one will be a little bit of a quick one, but basically, Avantika. So she is a South Asian, well, like American South Asian actress, and she was recently in Mean Girls. I think she was actually one of the better bits of Mean Girls. Like, a lot of people have a lot to say about that movie. I really enjoyed it anyways. There were rumors that she was going to be cast as Rapunzel, and I saw a girl crying on TikTok over the fact that her Rapunzel Disney princess childhood dreams wouldn't be played by a white actress. And the entire time I was like, you've got to be kidding me. This can't be real. But no, it was. Apparently people just decided to start slandering Avantika and being like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, it's going to be a brown actress. And also, like, I saw this other TikTok, which is by a South Asian creator, and they were like, can we remind people who had really long, beautiful hair? And it's like, South Asians, bitch. Like, we have lovely hair. So, like, I don't know. It just blew my mind. I know a similar thing happened with Halle Bailey as well, but I just feel like this was actually ridiculous. It was beyond words.
I think Halle Bailey's Little Mermaid is what all of the racists use as precedent, and they were like, oh, they gave it to her, so they might give it to her. I think in my head, that's probably what their mentality looks like. I mean, I can't really tell you what their mentality was. I don't have that mindset. I'm not that devoid of basic knowledge and empathy and tolerance, but when it came to the discourse, because that was on my For You page. It wasn't taking over my For You page, but I saw a video of a girl, not a girl, but it was just a video of a girl talking about the fact that she could possibly be Rapunzel in the live action film. A, we never actually got told that there was a Rapunzel live action film. B, she wasn't confirmed to be in it if it did exist. See, you don't need to be, like, so what if a brown woman is going to play, similar with Halle Bailey, and look at how great she was in Little Mermaid. What is the issue with the brown woman playing your favorite Disney character?
No, and the thing that freaked me out with, I was like, we haven't even had this confirmed. You guys are freaking out over a rumor, like, an absolute rumor. And, yeah, I just feel like the arguments as well that a lot of people will make, it's like, no, I'm not racist, but, like, you know, you can't do this to a classic. And I'm just like, shut up, Shut up. We've had enough classics where it's literally just been white women. I'm ready for a brown woman to do things. And yeah, I just feel like with that much slander anyway, who would want to play that role? Like, imagine if she actually was cast. Like, all props to her, but also that would be so distressing.
I think Halle Bailey copped a lot because she actually got cast as Little Mermaid. And there were people making petitions saying that this would ruin a Disney classic. And I think I've dropped this on the pod before, but people that were saying, okay, so what if I, I'm not specifically saying that anyone said this, but I remember a comment went viral with a lot of responses, and the comment was like, okay, so what if I took your Black Panther and I made him white? This was from a non-person of color. And I was like, you're going to take a literal, intentionally created comic and superhero that was meant to be black, and you're going to make it... See, that's bad. That, in my opinion, is wrong, because you're taking something that was created with culture in mind, right? And you're making it white. That is like movie colonialism, or like colonialism in general. But I don't think that making a movie like Little Mermaid, keep in mind at the time when Little Mermaid was made, we didn't have black or brown Disney princesses.
No, not at all. And that's the thing.
So why is it so bad to cater to the audiences, to cater to the little girls that didn't see themselves in Disney princesses growing up? Because I watched The Little Mermaid, A, because I like Halle Bailey, but also because I was just like, okay, yeah, when I was younger, I had Aurora, and I had Mulan, but she was Asian, and I didn't really feel represented in her. I'm not saying that I need a Disney princess to make Haldi Dud or, like, use coconut oil as moisturizer to feel represented, right? But I'm saying that if there's even a degree of relatability in that for other audiences, then what's the problem? We're not completely deleting your classic that is Little Mermaid or Rapunzel. They're just remaking it. And there's diversity there. So what is the problem? That was my problem. Other than the fact that they were being so rude to her for no reason, Avantika.
Yeah, no, she's just got so much hate. And she's also vocally spoken up about her support for Palestinians and all of that. And it's like, and she wears a bindi on the red carpet and everything. So I can see that it's just very racially targeted. So people being like, oh, she wasn't a good actress or something. I'm just like, shut up. Shut up. That's not a reason. Yeah, so anyway, that's a little bit on your racism news of the late. I'm sure there's been plenty others as well, don't you worry. But that's just one of the things that I wanted to talk about.
And that's the thing, you can have an objective opinion and say, oh, sorry, a subjective? You can have an opinion either way and say she's not a good actress. Cool, she's not a good actress. Well, you've maybe only seen her in one thing, but yeah, she's not a good actress. Cool. Doesn't mean you can be a racist. That's weird.
Exactly, like those two things are very different, so let's just shut up.
Yeah, there's having an opinion and there's being intolerant cuck, so there's two very different things.
Precisely, I couldn't have said it better myself.
And then it's really weird, and I'm kind of, this could be a connecting sentence for the next topic that we want to cover, but you know, when people started commenting on Halle Bailey's casting of Little Mermaid, people who were then not shamed, but people who were then told off for making really racist comments against Halle Bailey, and maybe even Avantika now, I haven't seen that discourse as much online, they were like, oh, free speech, and they were all American, you can tell, like, free speech is a fundamental pillar of our society. Free speech is something that we need to recognize. Okay, yeah, sure, it is. I want everyone to have that degree of freedom when they speak. But no amount of waffle should hinder speech from being scrutinized, right? Or no amount of sort of hiding the truth or denying the truth should then make it not be able to be scrutinized, right? And I see that a lot with how Instagram is limiting political content.
Yeah. Okay, great. I love. Go on, talk about this.
No, I want your opinion on it because I feel like you've said something about it on stories. I haven't. Actually, have you said something? Who am I thinking of that as? Maybe it was you that said something about it. But I remember I was unaware of it because I was scrolling and I was like, where the hell did all of my Palestine content go? Why can't I see Mortaz Isaza? Why can't I see... Oh, fuck, I just butchered his last name. Why can't I see Mortaz? Why can't I see Hind? Why can't I see... Well, I'm not as... why can't I see Plestia? Why can't I see Sara Saleh? Why can't I see all of my Palestinian journalists and, like, public figures who I follow? Even Eye on Palestine and Free Palestine 19. Like, I just couldn't find it. And then I saw yours or someone's story where Instagram was literally and willingly limiting political content. For what reason, I didn't scrutinize enough. But I saw that and I was like, wow.
Yeah, no, it was actually crazy. And I think the fact that, you know, Instagram won't automatically turn off diet culture ads. Instagram won't automatically give you a more diverse feed. Those are all things that you have to go and manually do in the settings. But they'll automatically turn off your political content, which made no sense to me. And I think that was the most strange bit. I'm like, on what grounds... are you actually doing this?
The Zionist agenda gets to everyone, babes. That's why. Or it gets to people like Zuckerberg, which makes sense because, I don't know, pretty sure he has ties to Israel somehow, but this Instagram political censorship really bothered me because here I am just trying to do my due as a human being, learning about the world, trying to be literate in some sense, keep up with what's going on, and Instagram's like, you care about basic human rights of Arab people? Suz have to limit your content, can't show it. But why? What's the issue that you have with political content as one of the biggest social media domains in the world? What is the issue you have with content, especially of that nature? Because, yes, I've realized that Instagram does have that preface of like, oh, are you sure you want to see this video? But it would have made much more sense if they just went ahead and they said, they did what Facebook does sometimes where they have a sort of fact check disclaimer. Have you seen that?
Yeah, and I think that is so different. But here it's basically you're automatically opting in to not receive political content, which I think was people's biggest issue, right? Because when I have to go through my feed and like hit not interested on all these diet culture videos or like really harmful content, why am I automatically taken away from like political content? And I think a lot of people in our generation and younger and even older get their news from Instagram, which there are definitely arguments for and against. I'm not saying that's the best place to get your news, but I personally know that I get so much of my news from Instagram because, yeah, I am probably a little bit too chronically online sometimes and everything. And I find that, like, independent journalists, independent news organizations are actually on Instagram. So when you're limiting all of their content, the impact that has not only on the organizations but also getting people educated is massive.
It also says a lot about Instagram's agenda and Instagram's stance.
Well, this was Meta as a whole taking this stance.
I know, but Instagram is owned by Meta.
Yeah, for sure. And it's like, I was trying to find a reason as to why this ban happened. Or like, sorry, why this limiting of political content happened. And I couldn't really find much other than them being like, oh, people have told us this is what they want. And I'm like, which people?
Who is your people?
Who's told you this? Because from my knowledge, like most of my peers like the fact that it's political content. And I know that I probably live in my own little bubble, but I haven't seen too many people be like, I just want highlight reels and photos on my Instagram.
I was also thinking that, like, I know I live in an echo chamber, but also, okay, think about it like this. Mark Zuckerberg didn't really say anything about palette. Like, my thing is, and this is literally a personal opinion, but in an Instagram story that I saw at around early October, was it Zuckerberg? I think it was Zuckerberg. He posted that Hamas attacks were pure evil, which, yeah, I don't support terrorism either. But where's that same energy and discourse for people that are being terrorized by a colonial state for no reason?
Yeah, I think it's very easy to attack and be like, oh my God, can't believe Hamas did this, did that. And then it's like, IDF is all good. And it's like, hold up, wait. This is called colonialism.
It is. And you can't really... And the thing is, digital footprints exist for a reason, Mark. Like, yes, I use both of your platforms. I use Instagram and I use Facebook. Sometimes I use Facebook. And it's very clear when you were saying that, I mean, it just came to a head, but when you were saying Mark Zuckerberg consulted people and this is what they want. Well, I know who you were consulting and they don't represent the majority, Zuck. I'm sorry. So the Instagram content limitations have a lot to do with, I think, people starting to heighten their ability and not fall victim to misinformation as much. Because if Zuck just went ahead and banned political content completely, people wouldn't have taken that well. But it was quite a subtle update on a random Tuesday afternoon that many people didn't know about. And that's what also rubs me the wrong way, is there was no preface beforehand for me, at least. And I was like, what?
Yeah, I completely agree. It just felt so random, so out of the blue.
It felt very... I don't know how to say this other than, in my opinion, it felt very racially motivated. There are certain things that Meta as an organization wanted to block, as a corporation, sorry, wanted to block and wanted to limit on our feeds. There's a reason for that. And it's not right, but it also speaks to their ability to do whatever they want as a domain as big as them.
Yeah, and I don't know. It also kind of, I guess, goes to the next point that we want to talk about, like the TikTok ban, which, I mean, what do you think of that?
Okay, so we don't live in America. I mean, Varsha did for a bit, didn't you?
Yeah, ages ago though. So,
when she was very, very young. So the only person that has touched American soil, so to speak, is Varsha. But if you don't know anything about the TikTok ban, why can't I speak today? If you don't know anything about the TikTok ban, sort of the gist of it is a lot of legislators and politicians have really scrutinized the app, TikTok that is, and there's speculation that the app itself could allow the Chinese government to access, buy, and harvest user data, and that would influence Americans and infiltrate Americans and how they think, how they consume, how they buy through the social media app, which has a lot of users on it. And its algorithm is so that a lot of things are marketed to you and you don't even know that they are. And the White House has backed the bill. President Joe Biden said he would sign it if it passes Congress. You know, he's too busy killing children, but he will, sorry, he's too busy killing Palestinian children by giving Israel bombs, but, you know, he'll pass a Congress bill to ban TikTok because, you know, TikTok is yet another social media platform that also you get a lot of news from. Not me personally, but, you know, I do get my news from TikTok. So, yeah, what do you think about this TikTok ban?
Okay, so I've been trying to figure out kind of what I actually think of it. I honestly don't think banning apps is the way to go. And there is also something that Em Rada posted. So Emily Ratajkowski. Oh my god, I'm so sorry if I butchered her last name. But basically, model girly. She was in, she wrote a book recently and she talked about her experience in the, what's that song called? It's like,
Blurred Lines.
That one with Robin Thicke, where he was just a dick. But she basically was like, well, Google and stuff steals your info as well. Why is that okay? And like, what's the issue with, I guess, the Chinese government doing that? And I don't know if that's the best take she's got, but I also do think it's quite interesting that there's just been this sudden, like, I know that banning TikTok has been a conversation for a while. I'm pretty sure it's banned in India, because last time I went to India last year, I couldn't use it. So yeah, I don't know. I've been trying to figure out kind of where I stand on it. And yeah, essentially, like, I just don't think banning things is the way. Like, I don't think banning anything is the way. Because, yeah, I also think, like, the whole Chinese developer divesting and, like, that being the main reason they want to ban it is quite interesting. I obviously don't know enough about the Chinese developer and what exactly is going on. But, yeah.
Yeah. And it also brings me back to, this had to have been a couple of years ago, I want to say it was in 2021, where if you were an Australian Facebook user at the time, I'm going to say 21 or 22, it could have been earlier or later, but there was a period of time where I'm pretty sure Facebook was banned in Australia for like a couple of days.
Wait, what?
Remember that? Like,
no.
Yes, oh my in God. The next few days, like in the next few days after it happened, it was normal. But basically what happened is Facebook agreed to pay a major, I forgot, was it Seven News? I don't know. But they basically agreed to pay Seven a bunch of money for news content. And there was a bunch of issues with that, but because of that, Facebook was banned for like less than a week, and people were really, really angry about it. Because one day you woke up and you just couldn't use Facebook. Because Facebook...
Oh, wait, I think I remember this.
Yes, because Facebook was like, you need to pay for my news. Well, this was in regards to, like, Google, but they were literally like, you need to ban, like, we're going to ban all Australian media content if so-and-so isn't fulfilled. And then Facebook was banned for, like, a couple of days. I remember I went to get, like, my daily dose of news from Facebook because I got it. I had it at the time, and it was really early on in the year. Like, it was probably February or January. I just remember that period and just going to Facebook one day and being like, why do I keep getting kicked off the app? Did I get hacked? No, Facebook was just banned for less than a week. Remember that? So it's a very interesting concept that these governments and big corporations do for whatever reason that they say they do it. It's a very interesting thing that they do to sort of say, yeah, sure, they want, so sure, you want to stop, you want to dismiss misinformation, that's fine, but there's a way to go about it, and banning a whole app and banning a whole news platform or whatever you want to call Facebook, it isn't the way.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, because...
Yeah, I just feel like I've been skirting this and I haven't really been looking at it, but yeah.
I just think it's a weird way to combat fake news, as they call it, or a threat. You know what I mean? If there's a threat, do something about the threat.
Yeah, and I feel like they... So they're stating that this is a threat to their national security, which I feel like when you frame it like that, it's like, whoa.
Everything is a threat to national security.
But also, on the other hand, Donald Trump has his own social media platform.
What?
Yeah, he has his own social media platform because he's not allowed on Twitter anymore. And it's like, it's those kinds of things that I'm like, what? So I'm not saying that, like, TikTok should be banned or shouldn't be banned. I, like, I'm probably leaning towards it shouldn't be banned just because I don't think bans are efficient. I don't think they really do much. There's a thing called VPN, like people get on these things. It's whatever, right? But I just think it's so interesting, like, who's allowed to be on social media, like, obviously, like, who's allowed to access information, all of those things. I don't really know, like, what China's role is in this, so I'm not going to speak on the national security bit, but I just think it's an interesting question of authority there.
So it's weird, because especially when it comes to America and China, in that particular context, if America wants to be like, oh, China has a monopoly on information and they want to harvest your data and they have a monopoly on internet censorship, but then they also want to, like, take our users and access their information, and it's like, so it's bad when China does it, but it's okay when you do, like, you know what I mean? Did we learn nothing from Cambridge Analytica? Like, stuff like this happens. You can either counteract the threat properly and target it properly, but banning a whole app just seems a bit excessive in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
It's weird. Just really, really, really weird. And it speaks a lot to the fact that you can't necessarily trust, I mean, I don't know anyone that trusts the American government specifically, but it just comes back to the point that you shouldn't trust everything you see online. You shouldn't trust everything a politician says, just to question everything, because that's how you get internet literacy. That's how you learn how to differentiate things, right?
Yeah, and I think providing access to education on media literacy is really important, and also making sure that the government takes its role in actually regulating privacy laws and ensuring that they are strong, in ensuring that our data isn't taken out of the country and those sorts of things. And I know that's much harder online, but at the end of the day, like, that is a policymaker's job. So I think that's really, really important to consider, instead of being like, let's delete apps, let's do this, let's do that. It's like, okay, now how can we strengthen our privacy laws? Because, yeah, like what you mentioned about Facebook and, like, Cambridge Analytica and all of that, like, there is going to be misinformation, there is going to be, like, we are going to have data leaks and those things. We are coming into an age where literally everything is online. And also, so many people make money off of TikTok. Like, this is, yeah, I don't know, like, one of the reasons that Australia isn't going to ban it, which I obviously think the economic argument is always a little bit wishy-washy. They're like, oh, you know, it's really good for the local government business, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, great. At the end of the day, that is a reality. And I just think, like, strengthening those laws would be so much more better. So much better. Not more better. But, yeah.
Think about, oh, what is a good, oh, when my data, a very recent medical appointments, of very recent procedures that I had, got leaked because of the Medibank hack.
Yeah, it was fucked.
It was one of the most distressing, because your medical information should be secure. It should be private. It shouldn't be able to get accessed by random hackers from wherever. It's very sensitive for me, this particular topic. So I actually didn't look into it because it was so distressing at the time. And I didn't even want to think about it. But I remember feeling so violated when that happened to me, because I don't want people to know about my medical history. I don't want people to know about what happened to me or where I live, etc., right? No one wants that to happen to them. And an appropriate response to that would have been, and like I said, I'm very willingly ignorant about the issue. I don't want to open up that can of worms for me. It was a really hard time for me. So I don't know what Australia's response was. But Australia's response wasn't, Medibank's horrible, our data users are probably all screwed now, China's probably bought it all, let's delete and completely obliterate Medibank as a service provider for health insurance. They didn't do that. There was a call, yes, from memory, there was a call to strengthen, like you were just suggesting now, security laws, especially when it comes to cybersecurity, and technology is such a rapidly advancing, I'm going to call it an entity, even though it may not be, it's such a rapidly advancing entity that you can't necessarily police the internet, but you can develop ways to protect people, and putting that into some sort of legislation or procedure would have been the way to go. Australia didn't ban Medibank. Pretty sure a lot of other stuff happened, but they didn't ban Medibank. And that was a health provider, health care service provider, that was privy to a lot of sensitive information. It was nothing like TikTok, yes, but it is people's sort of health information that was at risk and sold and leaked onto the dark web, right?
Yeah, I mean, we also had the Optus thing.
Oh, yeah.
The leaks there. Yeah, so it's like we've had those things, and I do understand that that's been more internal rather than external, but at the end of the day, leaks are leaks, and I think it really is important to consider how we go about managing this, and I feel like strengthening data privacy laws is the best thing that we can make sure to not only just be reactive in these situations, but also be proactive when things like this do happen, because they will happen.
I wholeheartedly think that it's, I don't know, it's just, it's a lot, right? Stuff like that happening to people is a lot. But in America's case, going about it like that was a bit extreme. As a country, I'm sorry, you have more to worry about. Maybe ban and, you know, criminalize casually buying guns and shooting schools before you worry about how, you know, China could potentially be buying user data on TikTok. Not saying that one is significantly worse than the other, but I am saying that America, you have other issues. TikTok isn't that big of a concern. I'm sorry.
It's just interesting what's considered a priority as well. But yeah.
That's what happens when you let 80-year-old geriatrics with no term limits run the country. I'm sorry. Joe Biden is older than the state of Israel. He should not. Nancy Pelosi is 80. Did you know that?
No, I didn't. She honestly, I feel 80. Like the American politics is just don't have much interest in it. I'm like, alrighty, guys, you do your thing.
It's just fascinating that that, like, shiny, deteriorating country in a Gucci belt thinks that they're better than everyone.
Good old politics.
Yeah. It's similar to, like, motherland politics, like Sri Lankan or Indian politics, where it's different, but it's just like, this is horrible.
Yeah.
Speaking of misinformation, I also wanted to touch a bit on Jay Shetty. And if you don't know who Jay Shetty is, he is a self-proclaimed monk turned health and lifestyle guru. Now, Vash, do you know who he is?
Yeah, no, I definitely know this man. I know that he's written a book called Think Like a Monk. I know that him and his wife have the most beautiful eyes ever. Like, literally stunning. I'm like, how? His wife is a chef, I think, and, like, looks like she has great recipes. I know that he was, like, Will Smith's guru or something. I don't know. Like, the only Jay Shetty news that I've been getting lately is through, like, my pop culture podcasts that I listen to, which I just like because they're just, like, a little bit dumb and funny. And, yeah, that's what I've heard about Jay Shetty. And apparently he's not really a monk. And, like, was actually going viral at the time. He was like, I don't even know who the president is because I've been in isolation, which is so interesting to me. But, yeah.
I also really random... he officiated Jennifer Lopez's and Ben Affleck's wedding.
Oh my god, yes. That is so fucking random. Like, who's like, oh, hey, you know who we should get to officiate our wedding?
Jay Shetty.
Jay Shetty, bro. like, Jay Shetty. Let's get him. I'm like, what? Maybe they're really good friends. I don't know. Yeah,
maybe they're friends. It's just so random. And also he pays $100,000 per appearance. Like, he costs that. So yeah, this former monk is making you rack up some dough just to be in his presence. So, like I was saying, he's this self-proclaimed monk-turned health and lifestyle guru, and in 2013, he proclaimed to have left an ashram in India, like in Delhi, to sort of address his curiosities of the real world outside and an excerpt from an interview that he did, which we will link, or I can link in the description of this podcast, is that he said that he thinks, or he thought at the time, one of his motivations for leaving the ashram was he wanted to spread his knowledge that he had gained and he wanted to help people.
Cool. Lovely.
Which is fine, right? I'm all for people using their experiences to better themselves and sort of help other people in the process, right? That's a part of advocacy. That's a part of being a human being in general, right? But Mr. I used to be a monk in the ashram, we actually don't really know if that's true, because he's claimed to be a monk and even a former therapist, but there's no evidence to support these claims, and he's actually never held a degree in psychology. But he will make you pay thousands and thousands of dollars so he can teach you to be a life coach and a public speaker. He has been known to promote his own products and services on his social media channels, which, you know what, people do that all the time. Where he is giving advice to others about how to be successful. But the issue is, or my issue, my ethical query, is that these are paid courses about how to be a life coach. And his allure and the preface of him being a monk is what he has pushed onto people that want to sort of be like him. And he's also been accused of plagiarizing quotes from other people like Mark Twain and Oprah, etc., without giving them credit. And just recycling. It's like what people do with their quotes on Reels, like even I do it sometimes, where they'll be a cute little clip and there'll be a quote in the background. It'll be something like that, right? Except he capitalizes off of it and he makes people pay for it. Which is not something that a monk would do, in my opinion.
I just can't believe that people actually believed he was a monk. Like, I didn't actually think he was. I thought it was just, like, a way of life or something that he did for a little bit. Like, I didn't actually think he did all of that. Like, I never looked into him, but I don't know, I never believed it. I was really shocked when people were like, oh my god, he's not a monk. I was like,
was he supposed to be truthful?
I was so shocked. I was like, wait, no, this man actually said he was one. I thought it was just like, he adopted like their ways of life or something, because I could just never process or comprehend that this man actually was a monk. I'm not saying like he can't have been one, but I was just like, you're not. Like, obviously you're not. So when people started freaking out over the fact that he wasn't, I was like, what do you mean? Like, didn't we all know this guy? It's like, this wasn't a secret. So yeah, that's like kind of where I'm at personally. In this whole story, I'm like, wow, all of you really believed that.
I think it's weird also the people defending him, saying, oh, but he does good things for people, let him be. Why are you blindly following someone that can't even practice what he preaches to other people? I don't care if he's giving people blind faith. Where is the ethics in any of that? And it's just weird because there are people defending him online, and it's like, okay, think about it this way. I was talking to my friend Pioli about this. We both grew up in a Sri Lankan Buddhist, like Sinhalese Buddhist household, right? Now, I'm not religious, but one thing that I knew from my childhood is that if you want to go to the temple, you go to the temple. You make the trek to the temple in Katoomba or wherever else, like Scorefield, like the Scorefield Temple, and you go and you talk to the monk about attaining enlightenment, about Buddhist values and ethics and morals. You go find that monk who has put in the work throughout his life, being a lifestyle guru, except I had to go to the monk. And the monk didn't leave the temple, didn't become an influencer, and start asking people for money to learn how to be a life coach, which if you think about it, that's essentially in Buddhism in Sri Lanka, at least, that's what a monk is, right? The real monks are chilling in the temple and, you know, reading and learning about life. They're not running around LA shaking hands with Joe Biden and trying to profit money off of their teachings in that way. Like, sure, people donate to temples all the time, and sometimes they donate to monks to help, you know, fund things, but it's never that. And that's why Jay Shetty hits a spot with me, because it's so plainly fraudulent. And if that's the truth, then the monk in the ashram to lifestyle guru pipeline must be explored, because he's not the only person I hold issue with. It's all of these lifestyle gurus that use this crutch of spirituality to promote their products, to promote religion, or not even religion, but to promote spirituality and their financial endeavors. And it does not come across hopefully at all. He's just, to me, a very intelligent guy that knows what to say. And sure, you could say that for a lot of people, particularly those with the platform. But when you're on the crutch of whether it's Hinduism, whether it's Islam, whether it's Buddhism, like, it doesn't matter. Like, religion shouldn't be your crutch, and you shouldn't pay for people to learn from you what you learned from a temple because you were allegedly in an ashram for however many years or however many months. It's so off ethically for me, at least.
Yeah, honestly, I was, like I said, I was just shocked that we believed him in the first place. I genuinely thought that people knew that he wasn't a monk. Like, I never thought he was. What do you mean?
Yeah, but maybe... But a lot of people probably didn't approach Jay Shetty with the degree of skepticism because the story was so compelling.
No, literally, I was never even skeptical. I just didn't think he was. Like, no part of me thought he was.
She was like, I smell bullshit from miles away.
No, it wasn't even that. I was like, oh, he's just talking about his, like, lifestyle of, like, habits that he's adopted as a mom.
Yeah.
I didn't actually think he claimed to be one. I never really looked into him.
Yeah.
But I just thought that was so absurd that people actually thought that. And this, like, guy did a full investigation on him and stuff. And I was like, are we fucking wasting our time on this man? But it looks like we all believed him, apparently, as a society. So now we are using up our time on unpacking whether he's a real monk or not. And I'm like, this is just hilarious.
It's hilarious to me. I feel bad for the people who believe him. I feel bad for the people who, you know, sort of put some blind faith in him, because pretty sure my mum bought Think Like a Monk. I'm 90% sure Think Like a Monk.
It's advertised as a self-help book as well. It's not even a religious thing. It's very much like self-help, like do better for yourself, you know, blah, 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 productivity, all that shit. It's like fucking wake up at 5:30, then run like this time, do that. Like, I know that much about the book. And I'm like, okay, if that works for you, wonderful, great. But it's also, yeah, now learning that it's all like a facade and stuff, and maybe he does follow that. I just think it's interesting. And like, I think he is generally a decent interviewer. I haven't listened to too much of his stuff, but from what I've heard, he does seem to have a really good reputation. So I feel like this story for him was probably quite groundbreaking in that he has a really good reputation from what it seems like.
And the thing is, I'll give him that. He, to the people that he caters to, comes across as a good person who is easy to converse with, and he gives me that vibe, right? He gives me the vibe of someone who you can talk to, who you can confide in, which, I mean, Will Smith being his personal guru is a bit, explains a lot. But also, my thing is, I'm not the person to criticize someone's career, especially if you're an influencer and that's how you make money. Girl, go get your bread. Respectfully, you can do it. You do you. A lot of people do. A lot of people should get paid for their time, for their knowledge, for their efforts. I'm 110% for that. What I'm not for is when you post, whether it be an Instagram reel or a online course or a podcast, where you preach values or you preach things that you don't even do yourself. And there's many examples of that, but Jay Shetty is a very prominent one, because, like I said, that sort of pipeline of lifestyle, not that pipeline, but that type of lifestyle guru exists in a lot of people. It's not just him. He's just the most notable and the most famous. So he is the one that's with the bigger digital footprint, right? But yeah, just those people in general who will post about things but don't practice what they preach, how are you going to listen to someone who can't even listen to themselves or listen to what they tell you? Sorry, not about it. Especially in 2024, like, people will show you who they are. And Jay Shetty is a very good example of that.
I just think it's funny. Like, honestly, I just think it's hilarious. I'm like, guys.
Here I am raging in the corner and Vasha's like, you bitch. Like, why did you believe that?
I just didn't think we believed it. Like, what?
I didn't believe it. I'm just mad that he capitalized off of so many people who genuinely wanted help. Like, that's where my anger is coming
completely
from.
And I feel like a lot of people are like, I think the way that I could see would be a good way to defend him is like, guys, like, don't question him, blah blah blah. But it's like, no, my guy, you've capitalized off of this. You've put yourself in the public eye to a very significant extent. You've made a whole living off of this, and if it is a lie, then I'm so sorry, but let's expose ya, because that's not okay. And people have given you their money, like your average person on the street. So many people have bought that book. I know so many people who bought that book because it's literally like one of the self-help productivity book things. It's like, guys, you can change your life. It's like, no, you probably won't be able to with that, but okay. So yeah, I agree. But this is funny to me. Sorry, I just think it's such a joke. I'm like, what?
Shall we end it then?
I reckon. Alrighty, well, thank you for listening. And yes, we are your most inconsistent podcast that you probably listen to, if you even still listen to us after being so inconsistent. But we hope you're all doing super well and stay safe. I hope you had a lovely Ramadan and Eid. And yeah, we shall catch you next time.